Faith makes the invisible visible. What a resurrection that was, and what a resurrection this is for you and I. We were quickened with him because we were in him. We believe this by faith, but it is hard to comprehend in our natural minds. No matter how hard it is to comprehend, does not make it any less true. Romans 6, verses 6 through 8 tells us, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We stated from the beginning of this book that world peace could only be accomplished with divine intervention. All other man-made efforts for true lasting peace have and still are futile. As we continue our study in the unveiling of God's Word, we see his unfailing plan unfolding into a culmination of world peace. His disciples were not only amazed at his appearing after death, but there was still some doubt among them when they met with Jesus. Their flesh was weak and fearful upon seeing his resurrected body. Many prophecies they heard needed a spiritual mind to catch them, yet they were still without the Spirit to give them the understanding. God already knew their condition, but they needed strengthened in the Spirit. And of course, he had a plan for them. Luke 24, verses 47 through 51. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Jesus sent the disciples to Jerusalem to wait until they were endued with power from on high. Jesus had to go back to heaven at this time and change back to spirit form. His earthly life in the body of Jesus had limitations. He was just one person in one body. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt completely in this earthly body. To change his form back to spirit enabled him to divide himself among each of his disciples with a portion of his supernatural eternal life dwelling in them. Jesus in his earthly body was God with us, Emmanuel. When he returned by his Spirit, he became God in us, the Holy Spirit. This gave them power to hear and an understanding that created the desire to work the works of God. His eternal purpose of redemption on the earth was being fulfilled in his children. The disciples lived with the Word, but the Word was not yet living in them. They only had the promise of the inner life, as the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Here lies a great deception of Satan. He can make men and women believe they have all of Christ and yet only have the potential of his life living in them. We can know all about him intellectually, perhaps even preaching about him and signs and miracles following, and still not know him intimately. I had personal experiences in my early ministry while I was preaching, holding revivals, and experiencing great healing miracles. Yet deep in my heart, I knew he was calling me to a more intimate place of fellowship. This went on for several years until I had a complete and unmistakable transformation. Looking back, I was going from experience to experience, only bumping into the supernatural. This falls way short of the awareness of his very life living within you every minute of every day, ultimately leading, guiding, and being consumed with his very thoughts and presence moment by moment. Of this life, we can never completely comprehend. It is a daily excitement and joy watching our all-knowing God take us through every daily impossible circumstance. We need to have him living in and through us to where we are one with him. We think his thoughts, working the works of God so naturally as if it was him doing the thinking and works himself. Every genuine seed of God shall come to life. An analogy of his life connecting with ours is likening us to a car with only the positive terminal connected to the battery. The Holy Spirit is the positive powerhouse charge of life going into the battery. But our car will never start until the negative ground strap is connected. Then and only then, you acquire access to the power from the positive feed. Upon that connection being established by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he endows us with his power and guidance, establishing our thoughts for his perfect purpose. Proverbs 16:3 instructs us to commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. We need to lead converts to a connection with Christ so they become quickened by the power of his Holy Spirit. This makes them true disciples, living out the life of God rather than becoming intellectual converts. Satan has us spending most of our time getting church members, which often deceives many from the true life of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Satan can offer a false, temporary sense of security through our works. God's creative words are the seeds for his creation that go through a process of a seed time and a harvest time. Every seed must fall to the earth, rot, and completely die. It makes no difference how long the seed stays in the dark, rotted condition. And when the heat and the light of the sun shines upon that seed, it will come to life as the sun brings out the life. The natural is always a perfect type of the spiritual. In one way, we are all seeds of God from before the foundation of the world that God placed in the earth at creation. Remember, our bodies were created from the dust of the earth. He put this dust, these elements, together to make our natural life. The real you is the spiritual life that is housed by our natural body. Again, it makes no difference how long our seed laid in the rotted, decayed condition. One day when the life of the light of the sun, S-O-N, the gospel, shines on his seeds, spiritual life is birthed. God's eternal life accepted by faith is the only place eternal life exists for the fallen human race. Jesus showed himself to his disciples many times after he was risen, proving that he had risen from the dead. He then told them to preach the gospel to the world. Oh, how we want to complicate things when the power lies in simplicity. The gospel was simply, he is risen. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We have gone through 6 of the 7 church ages and are now finishing the 7th and final church age of Laodicea, that's found in the book of Revelations. The Bible promises us that the true light of the gospel comes again in the last days. Zechariah 14:7. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. We are the beneficiaries of that light, proving his resurrection and his life. As believers, we gladly spread that true light to every creature so others may partake of the same light in us. 1 John 5:11 and 12. And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now that our Lord has proven the fulfillment of his word with absolute truth and authority, this should leave us with only one question. How can I acquire eternal life and be certain that I have secured my citizenship in the new earth, living in world peace? This great scriptural question has a simple scriptural answer. To receive anything from anyone, whether friend or business acquaintance, we must first know who we are approaching. Sure, we might know his or her name, but we need to know more. The right attitude and respect is first and foremost in receiving anybody's favorable attention, including God's. With God, we must first know who he is. There are so many interpretations of him. Jesus approached his disciples one day with this very important question. Who do you say that I am? Matthew 16, verses 13 through 19. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Obviously, Peter's answer to that question was very important to Jesus. It was a spiritual question and needed to be answered by the Spirit. Jesus told Peter that he was blessed since he did not get his answer from the wisdom of men, but it was revealed to him from his Father in heaven. A spiritual revelation directly from God. It was the person of the living God lighting upon the seed of his written word, bringing it to life for Peter, and whosoever will, to understand who he is. The deity of Jesus is the foundation on which the church rests. The word rock in verse 18 is the Greek noun Petra, which means a huge mountain of a rock, not a land strewn with rocks, but a land that's so hard it could be mistaken for a slab of a rock. It is widely used even to this day to describe unmovable strength. The scriptures refer to God as their rock in 2 Samuel 22:2. The Lord is my rock, Petra, and my fortress. Jesus said that upon that rock, Petra, the unmovable revelation from God, I'm going to build my church. Then Jesus said to Simon, you are Peter, Petros, which is a small, easily movable stone. Peter clearly demonstrated just how movable he was when he denied ever being associated with Jesus 3 times after Jesus' arrest. And after Jesus rose from the dead and filled Peter with the Holy Spirit, he was no longer afraid and not so easily movable. He stood firm with courage, testifying to everyone his faith in the unmovable rock, Jesus Christ. Peter, Petros, small movable stone, became an unmovable living stone in the kingdom of God. He had a portion of the unmovable rock, Petra, living in him by the infilling of God's very own living spirit. Peter, in his second letter, testifies that we can all become pieces of the rock, the living Christ, by seeking and receiving the revelation of Jesus the Christ being the one and only true God. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So when you receive revelation from God, it can never be taken away by man's wisdom. It changes you forever. Jesus wants us to know precisely his deity, as it is through this channel of faith which Jesus uses to endow his believers with his power. Man's wisdom certainly would not have the power that is needed to bind and loose spirits on earth. This power was endowed upon Peter through his revelation of who Jesus is. The scripture records the word was already settled in heaven. Now we have the spiritual power to bring his will to earth, just as it is in heaven, with the powers of binding and loosing. This is important. Psalms 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We must stay with the word in its purity and accuracy as God always backs up his word. He commands us not to add or take away even one word from the inspired scriptures. The church is empowered by faith with the never-changing truth of his word, and we are the church, the called out ones. Psalms 138:2, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Jesus said to Peter that it would be on this rock that he would build the church. It is the rock of revelation where he brings life to whatever situation we may be going through. He anoints our hearts with revelation from the scripture, bringing the written word to life. It is so inspiring that it will change the course of our lives immediately. The living word, or Christ, brings a spiritual understanding to the written word. This is how Christ becomes a very personal, living part of us. We can now understand the scripture in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, for the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. He is our resting place. God always proves his living word by his written word to confirm his spiritual instructions. This guides us and comforts us on our journey, knowing we have found God's perfect will for the matter at hand. God's purpose of redemption is always motivated with his irresistible love. And here, his instruction is spoken through Peter. Acts 2, 38 and 39. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God's redemptive process begins with repentance, bringing justification an extremely important concept. Justification is just as if I'd never done it in the first place. We first must recognize that we are sinners and need the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. By faith, believing to repentance and accepting the shedding of His blood as a propitiation for our sins, we are forgiven and justified. By definition, justification means to make one innocent. There is no need to think we are too sinful or not able to live the Christian life, as God takes care of all of that as well. He changes our desires away from the things of the world by giving us His very nature. He does it all. The guilty are made innocent. You may feel you are a terrible sinner beyond the reach of Jesus, but don't worry, you are actually the very type of person that He is looking to justify.